To be happy in every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. I also wish you a happy and healthy new year. My hope and prayer for the new year is that we can all be a little bit more peaceful in our interpersonal lives, inside of us, outside of us. I hope and pray for the new year that we can all treat each other a little bit nicer, that we can all just think a little bit more deeply about how our behavior affects other people. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and as you know, Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health. Also, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we are going to highlight issues associated with lying. That is the topic of today's show. Sort of an odd topic, perhaps, as we move into the new year, but it is an important one. Because remember, at the beginning of the show, just a few seconds ago, I said that what I hoped for all of us for this year is to be more peaceful inside of us, outside of us, in our interpersonal relations. Well, guess what? The only way to begin to be more peaceful is to begin to be more honest. And we're going to talk a little bit more fully about that today. Today, we're not going to have any phone calls because I'm just going to put the information out there. And then we'll talk again at another time. And I'll get you guys to talk to me a little bit and to go ahead and call in and talk about lying. But for today, I'm just going to put the information out there. So remember, you can listen to the show now, or you can get onto my website, which is easy enough to get to by getting onto WRIR's website. And you get onto WRIR's website by going to www.wrir.org. And then you will see the icon for my show, and that will get you to my website. I'd love for you to get on and to listen to today's show or to any of the other shows that are archived, and you can access that information through my website. One of my New Year's resolutions is to update my website in a way that the archived shows will be more easily accessed. So Mental Health Matters, as you know, comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. And I hope that you will listen each week on Thursdays at 1. So let's get now to the topic of lying. Let me tell you why I want to talk to you about lying. Well, lying is something that is so entrenched into the way in which we do business in the world that I bet all of you, all the time, in lots of ways, without even realizing it, don't always tell the truth. So let's talk about what truth is. So truth can be fairly subjective. My truth and your truth about a subject might be different. But I'm talking about the way in which we interact with each other. I am talking about the way we talk to ourselves about reality. And I believe it is not telling the truth when you, A, out and out tell a lie, as in, where were you tonight? Oh, I went to the grocery store when you went to a bar. I mean, out and out, bald face, lying. I also think that it's lying when you say to yourself, I'll just do this one more time and I won't do it again. Perhaps around an addictive habit or a behavior or laziness or whatever it might be, when we literally lie to ourselves about the things we are doing or not doing. So that's another way in which we lie. Another way in which we lie is we omit information. We tell people what they want to hear, and we don't give them the full scope of the information that they really need to have. That really is lying. It's called a lie of omission, perhaps, but it really is lying. Another way in which we lie is we live in a pool of denial about the ways in which our life, the ways in which we act, are affecting other people, or the way in which we live our life affects us. We are complacent. So in that regard, that's not telling the truth either. Now, I'm going to get to all of those parts and pieces of lying, but I want to say something first that might shock you. Do I ever think that it is okay not to tell the truth? Do I ever think that it is okay, perhaps, to tell a little white lie? I actually do. And I want you to think about that. Do you think that it is okay to tell a little white lie or to omit the information ever? Think through it for a second. Here's why I think sometimes we need to not tell the truth. Let's say, for instance, you have an aging parent or an aging friend who really is not capable of taking in a bulk of information, managing it, metabolizing it, so to speak, and dealing with it and then moving on with their life. And let's say that aging parent has, or aging friend or somebody that you know, has a bit of dementia, and they're not going to retain the information, and giving the information is going to assault them. So in that time, I don't think that all information needs to be given. There are times where you have to let somebody just be in peace. And I actually really believe that. I also really believe that there are times when your behavior is really unacceptable and that it is something you have to live with. And you can't burden somebody else with that behavior. So, for instance, and I know you're going to be shocked by this, but let's say you did something very bad. I don't know, maybe stole something you shouldn't have stolen, or cheated on your spouse. And let's say that it's 10 years later. Do you need to bring up, oh, I cheated on my spouse 10 years ago, or I stole something 10 years ago, and tell somebody you're in a relationship with that that happened? Well, on some level, I think that kind of information at times can be very destructive. And for you, it's something you have to live with. It's yours to live with. It's your piece of pain in the world to metabolize. And if you feel like telling your spouse is going to free your soul, in truth, all it will do is perhaps put a burden on your relationship that perhaps is not warranted at that moment. Now, if your spouse full-faced asks you, have you ever cheated on me? Well, yeah, I do think you have to then tell the truth. But I don't think you have to bring that up and unburden yourself if it happened in very much in the past, because it becomes an issue that you then lay on somebody else, that they didn't ask for you to lay on them. It's yours to deal with. And however you do that, I also think that at times there are things that you can't tell your children because it's not you know, they're not able to metabolize it. So, for instance, if you're getting divorced, let's say because there's infidelity, that would not be information you would give your children. You would say, Daddy and I are, or Mommy and I are ending our relationship because a million reasons that perhaps a young person will be able to take in. And if you talk about infidelity to a young person, it is so painful and it is such a broken thing for them. They don't even really understand what infidelity means. It isn't for you to tell somebody's child that their dad or their mom was sexually, cheated. It isn't okay. Now, that being said, I think there are times where you just have to manage pieces of information by yourself. But here's the caveat to that. You can't then lie to yourself about what you have done. You have to be 100% honest with yourself. 100% honest with yourself. So, if you are living in a pool of guilt over some behavior you have done, then you need to find a way to metabolize that, to deal with that, to manage that, to come to grips with that. And you know what? We're all a little broken. We all have to find that place inside of us that's a little broken and be comfortable with it. We have to be honest with ourselves about being broken, because the only way we will ever find internal peace is to take into our sense of self all the things about ourselves that are true. So, for instance, I think about the things that I'm not really very good at. I am a person who will take care of 25 details and almost always will leave the 26th detail out. I am not a person who has a meticulous eye for detail. I just don't. Never have. I will never be able to, you know, look at a picture and find the part of the picture that is missing or broken or wrong. That's just not something I can do. And I spent my childhood almost kind of humiliated and feeling as if there was something wrong with me, because that was always there, where I would proofread a paper 16 times and miss where I forgot to do one small thing, like cross a T or dot an I. I'm not good at picking up on those things. And so I habitually always make little mistakes. It's just something I do. I think I process information very quickly. I leave words out. For instance, if I'm writing a sentence and the last letter of a word and the first letter of the next word are the same, I will merge the two words together and leave out one of the letters. I do it all the time. If I am snapping the ends off of string beans, at some point I will look down at the piles and I'll have the piles merged, the ends and the string beans, because I can't keep those things straight. And for some reason, believe it or not, this particular nuance of my brain permeates a lot of things in my life. If you ask me to edit something, I can easily find your, I can edit your writing. I can give you pointers on how a sentence structure. I can catch the really glaring spelling errors, but I will not catch the nuance. And in my own writing, I never catch the nuance, because it is actually harder for us to edit our own papers. That's why you should always feel confident enough in yourself to ask somebody else to edit your work. Nonetheless, I always felt lesser than. I always felt as if other people were better at something than me because I have this nuance in how I process information. Another thing that I always felt a little bit awkward about and bad about myself, so to speak, was my athletic prowess. I am not a very strong person. I am not a person who has enough eye-hand coordination so that if you throw a ball at me, I'm not going to be apt to want to catch the ball. I'll be more apt to cover my face up. And I always felt so bad about myself about that, as if I was clumsy. And so in that regard, how did I begin to solve those two problems? Bold-faced honesty. When I stopped feeling bad, when I started really to acknowledge when somebody would ask me if I could edit a paper for them, I absolutely will say, here is what I'm good at, and here is something I cannot do for you. And believe it or not, because I always have defined my worth, or I did as a youngster, by my academic prowess. So my being embarrassed by nuances of my lack of academic prowess, that when I finally got honest with myself, I was able to see how unbelievably unimportant those things were. How unimportant those things were. And that those things did not define me. I was able to then be more honest about myself in an academic situation. And I was able to begin to figure out what physical prowess I did have. I was able to then, and I didn't begin this until I was 23 years old, exercise by myself. First I walked, then I started running. Then I started running long distances. I didn't care if everybody beat me in that race, but I will tell you, I finished the race. And to this day, I exercise almost every day. I don't compete with people because I don't really have enough physical acumen to compete well, but I have a good time and I compete against myself, and I always feel that I can do my best, and I do my best. And that is how I changed my life in that regard. And you can think that's a little thing, but it's not. It's a huge thing. And it was when I got out of my closet about the things that I couldn't do that I could face them and to begin to figure out what else I could do. We do this thing where when we're a little bit ashamed of ourselves, we isolate ourselves. Isolation entrenches us in shame. The more we isolate ourselves about the things we feel bad about, and we live in a pool of shame about those things, believe it or not, that is a way in which we lie to ourselves. We lie about it not being important, when in fact it is so important that it defines parts of our lives, and it keeps us from showing up to our own party. It keeps us from showing up to our own lives. It keeps us from learning more about the things we can do because we're living in an isolated place. So when I say to you, get honest, I mean it. Whether it's about how much you eat and that you want to make changes about the way in which you eat, or how much you drink and you want to make changes about how much you drink, none of those things are going to happen until you get 100% honest about those things, about how you treat other people. Okay, so now let's talk about the bald-faced honesty we do, the bald-faced lies we make with other people. We tell ourselves then another lie, which is we say we're lying so that it won't hurt their feelings. Nope, that's not why you're lying. You're lying so that you don't have to deal with how that person is going to feel about what you just did. You're lying because you do not want to have an honest relationship with that individual. Now, do I care if you have an honest relationship with somebody who is unimportant? When I say, do I care? I mean, am I talking about people in the grocery store or here or there? Perhaps those people aren't as important as the real relationships that you have with real people. But the way in which you treat anyone defines who you are as a human being. And when it's easy to just tell people what they want to hear, it's easy to tell the grocer what they want to hear, or the neighbor what they want to hear, or your spouse or your child. It becomes a way of life to omit information or to bald-faced lie about something because you do not actually want to deal with the material that will then come up and create tension in your relationships. Well, let me give you a fact. There are no conflict-free relationships. Relationships, by their very nature, if you want to have depth in a relationship, then there will be conflicts that will arise. Maybe small conflicts, maybe large conflicts. But if you cannot manage those conflicts, then what you do is you prescribe for yourself only superficial relationships. And again, you wind up isolated. And the more isolated you are, the more you hide, the less happy you can be in your life. You cannot have a full life if you're living a life of isolation. So lying to others isn't about them not feeling bad. It's about you not having to deal with the nuance of that relationship. Another reason that we lie. We lie because we don't want to get in trouble. Well, now, that's an interesting thought. Let's go back to, let's talk about brain development, okay? So if you're a mother, and or father, if you're a parent, and you walk in the kitchen and you see your four-year-old, and your four-year-old is the only one in the house besides you, you see your four-year-old on the floor eating a box of Cheerios, and half the Cheerios or half the cereal box is on the floor all around them, and the dog is now eating the Cheerios around the child or the cereal, as it might be, and you walk in and you say, "Oh my God, who dropped that box of cereal all over the floor?" Your four-year-old literally thinks that they get that that's a multiple choice question. Your four-year-old literally thinks that they can come up with an answer that isn't the truth, because four-year-olds still have a lot of magical thinking. They literally hear, "Oh, mommy doesn't know that I actually dropped the cereal all over the floor." And that is, so then that child says, I don't know. Well, of course you know, because it cannot be anybody else. But that four-year-old doesn't know because that four-year-old does not have the acumen yet to figure out that you know from deductive reasoning that it absolutely has to be him who dropped the cereal all over the floor. And you know what? That's a fine answer for a four-year-old. And actually, as a parent, the real question has to be, "Oh, honey, look, you've dropped the cereal all over the floor. Why don't you get up and help mommy clean it up?" Because that's really the better way of parenting. But when you're 44 or 34 or 24 or 104 and you still have that kind of magical thinking, that doesn't get you anywhere. it actually then serves to make you feel bad about yourself, that you just had to lie about the cereal or your keys or whatever it is. You know, where did you pick up my keys and take them? I can't find them. And you know you did, and you know they're in a pocket somewhere. But your magical thinking allows you to say, no, I didn't see your keys. That takes away from you as a human being. So maybe you think you're lying to that person so that you don't get in trouble, but you all are already in trouble with yourself. So let's sum this up, okay? Why do we lie? We lie not to get in trouble. Why do we lie? We lie to stay out of conflict with people. Why do we lie? We lie because we lie to ourselves. Why do we omit information? Because we don't want to have full relationships with people. Why do we lie? Because we have holes in our hearts and holes in our souls and our psyches, and we don't want to come to grips with ourselves as full people, with all the good things we do and all the bad things we do. We don't want to get honest with who we are as human beings, with the black holes that we have, with the things inside of us that are good and bad. So in looking at this as a subject, and now I started off saying, can you ever lie? And I did say yes. There are times where it's yours to deal with and you can't lay it on other people. You can't always tell your kids the absolute bald-faced truth about things. They do not have the acumen to take it in and to understand it, and it's not theirs to deal with. And perhaps we might tell a tale to somebody close to us, because whatever it is that's happening is something we need to deal with, and we can't lay it on them. And I don't think that should happen very often, but I do think occasionally it does. And if somebody is getting to the end of their lives and they have dementia, they can't take everything in, and there is information you can't lay on them. Everything else we have to be honest about, and we have to be honest about it so we can have the life we want to have. We are all good and we're all bad. We're all multifaceted, and if you are defining yourself by the part of you that is not working well, and you're lying about that part of you, even if it's a big thing, even if you're an addict, believe it or not, addicted people aren't just their addiction. They are multifaceted people with many other things, perhaps to offer the world, but at least to offer themselves. So that's really the takeaway from today's show. Yes, we all lie. No, we really shouldn't. And telling the truth is 100% about us having the life we want to live. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I hope you all have a happy, healthy, peaceful, and truthful new year. And I hope that you will listen next Thursday at 1 o'clock. On WRIR 97.3 FM.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy.